I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi everyone. What are you saying? Welcome back. TBI episode 226.
Oh my lord.
And we're joined by comedian, voiceover artist, actor, recent. You're going to tell the story, I think. We'll start with the story. I've a new father, six-month-old Benji Martin. We've got Chris Martin, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast, Chris. What's up?
What's up? Back to my podcast.
Yeah.
Original podcast. Just rebranded it, mate. It's like Starburst.
It's like your tribe. We're doing your what's it called when footballers go back to their old clubs and they do their tribunal. What's it called?
Oh, they do their bad. They do their memorial. What's it called? It's
play football.
Why is my play football? Why is my brain gone?
I know my brain. Well, no, your brain's gone because you've just landed back in America yesterday.
From New Zealand.
You were near where I was. But can we discuss what your trip entailed? Because I was getting a running commentary the whole time. And I've never been more excited for somebody else when something that looked like it might have been the case actually happened. This is the dream. And this will be for listeners, we're going to have to explain to you. Like, this ends up being what I think to be the dream gig. Especially, this is Julian's dream, what happened.
Did it get cancelled?
Oh, mate, get a load of this.
Let me get into this. I'll give the longer version because I think there's a lot of interesting emotional elements to this story, which is, I think, Carl, you're of a similar mind to me, which is there are certain types of jobs in this industry that on paper I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I think I always try them once is my general. Is my rule before I fully judge them. So like, even when we were younger comics back in that, I did like one time I did those gigs for the troops you could do. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna like this, but I did it anyway, and I was like, yeah, okay, cool, I've done it. And some people, you know, do them all the time or whatever, but I just tried it once. Anyway, this one was I got approached by someone about doing a stand-up comedy on a cruise ship a few months ago, because they saw one thing that
old set.
This person was 76 and they were like, I enjoyed that. So one thing I can do, I guess, that, I mean, a lot of comics can, but not loads over here, I guess, is I can do, I can work clean. So I can swear.
Yeah.
So all I've heard about cruise gigs from British comics are they're awful and they're to really old people who are miserable British people.
Yeah.
But weirdly, in America, where I now live, to people who don't know, quite a lot of comics do the cruises over here, and they're generally like supposed to be not great, but they're okay, because Americans, just by their nature, are there to have a good time. And I sometimes, some of the clubs I perform at here sometimes have an older crowd, but they're normally all right. Anyway, so I was like, still wasn't particularly into the idea of doing it, especially with a baby that I'm going to have to leave for a few days. And just the cruise, it's just being on a boat, which apparently you're supposed to call a ship, not a boat, with all these people. But Carl, you and me had heard that story a long time ago. Was it Mike Gunn or someone who did a gig on a cruise ship and it did so badly the next day they were in the jacuzzi? Someone, they saw a person dive in the pool at the other end of the pool, swim all the way up to them, in got out the, like, poked their head out like a meerkat at Mike, I think it was Mike, in the jacuzzi, and just went, "I just want to say, mate, I saw your show last night, I thought you were shit," and then he just swam away.
I mean, Mike Gunn, we need
just
to get
before
him on the
he
podcast,
drowned.
Dude, because like Mike's got the best stories about dying on, like, at gigs.
He's got that great one about when he got in the dumb waiter to escape the audience. Yeah.
I don't think we should. I feel like we should try it. Just get tell them, because they're so good.
Yeah, you should.
They wanted to buy that off of him for Jack D's old sitcom, but he didn't want to sell it. The actual story.
Interesting. So I'd heard that. Jimmy McGee, who we know, did them a bit. This guy said to me, this agent, whoever it was kind of, I basically put this gig in the diary thinking/hoping this other TV job was going to happen, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I was going to pull it out and go, "Oh, sorry, guys, got to do some TV stuff." And that didn't happen. So I was like, the gods are against me here. I am going to have to fly all the way to New Zealand to do a three-day
cruise.
That's
the most insane part to me. LA to New Zealand to get on a boat
It's funny how you justify it in your head. Because basically I'd said, they normally want you to do a week. I've never done one before. So like, do a week and you do like, you have to have two different 45-minute sets that are clean. Yeah, yeah. But not just clean, that will work.
This is Julia's nightmare right now.
that will make babies laugh as well.
It's like clean to old people and kids, but like people who don't even go to comedy. So it's like, all right. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I have enough material on paper. And then the reason I chose this gig was like, the guy was like, well, American comics who he sometimes represents and he sends out that way struggle to perform to like Kiwis and Aussies, because it's like more British centric their humor. You know, American comics, like, you know, when you're in LA and you're high and Aussies shut up, mate. So anyway, I chose
and wreck I off
this wreck off, you bogan. Gosh, that would have gone terribly on the boat. So I chose to do it because only 3 days, but then I suddenly was like, as you know, when you put those gigs in the diary and then you get closer, so I firstly thought I might not have to do it, and then obviously it was like circumstances meant I had to do it, and then 2 weeks before I was like, I just realized I'm flying to New Zealand, I'm flying into the future. I was like, how? Because then it's like, it's not 3 days, because you have to land a day before, and then you have to leave like 3 days before because of the time difference. So I left on a Wednesday, landed on a Friday morning. I get to my hotel and they hadn't booked me from the night before, so I had to just hang out for 4 hours. And I did message this to Carl. I forgot how deadpan Kiwis are. And there was this kind of whatever hotel. And then this person comes in with her kids and goes, "Just want to know, is the pool outside heated?" And the woman behind the counter went, "Yes, by the sun." I was like, "That's very good. I like that." Anyway, I'm in this hotel, and then Carl, because Carl, you've got something similar coming. So I was messaging you, going, as soon as I landed, the dread of doing it started to kick in. I was worrying about it.
It's because it's out of the normal. Like, it's the same feeling you get when you're doing a corporate or something, isn't it? You just think this is going to be harder than a normal gig. So you just get them nerves that you don't normally get. You forget them nerves even exist. Them nerves, like, like nerves from when you're a new comedian again, and like every gig has this sort of like dread, like that. What if it goes wrong? And I think corporates and stuff have that. Unless you're one of these old road dogs who've just done so many that it doesn't even cross their mind, man. Like, which
old road cigar smoking road dog,
just leather jacket,
five divorces,
wearing
fucking fat alcoholic.
Wife hating.
Yeah. Kids don't
anyone
talk
else,
to you.
Anyone else here got balls? Anyone got balls past their knees? You know. That.
But like, you know, but those ones, those sort great. Of the guys that just it wouldn't even cross their mind that a gig might go bad, because they don't care. They've done so many of them. The ones that go bad, they've just got used to it. And they and also often they've done enough of them that they know that what they need to do to make it work. Whereas it's your first one, man, like it's even like, because corporates are rare, aren't they? You're not like doing corporates all the time. Shit yourself if you're, you know,
especially if you're especially if you're personal anecdotal type comic. You know what I mean? Like if you do like jokes like Milton or Jimmy Carr or whatever. Carr, you have to feel you. I feel like jokes just like live and die by the joke. So. Like they don't really have to even like you. I mean, not to get your persona, but like
when you're doing personal stuff, going, if they don't like you, they don't like you. Like,
Your it's heart. Personal. It's
really they think you are an arsehole.
Yeah, so I'm in this hotel room like the night, and all I know is I'm getting on the boat on the Saturday, and the first thing they go, we're gonna pick you up at 7 a.m. and I'm like, that feels very early to get on. I'm not performing, like presumably I'm not performing till the evening. Anyway, and so I'm going through, I'm like properly in my head going, I'm cutting out stuff that's America, because I've not got loads of America, but some stuff works in America. Getting rid of that. I'm looking at the clean stuff I've got, which is a decent amount. And I've got to do 2 45-minute sets. Okay, I go, they're not going to care about that. They're not going to care about that. Anyway, get called at 7:15 in the morning. And they go, you know, we're actually not picking you up till 10. I'm like, why did you call me? Tell me the night before. Get on the boat. I'm just like whole experience. I just feel like a full alien who's just like a new comedian again. I'm really nervous to get there. The guy, and I'm so tired because I woke up early because it's only whatever the journey.
That's proper jet lag.
Yeah, jet lag. Well, it's only 3 hours, weirdly, even though you're in the future by 2 days. It's only 3 hours. Yeah. But I'm tired and I'm like, I just go. And the guy dropping me off, he's like a nice bloke. He does all the driving for these people. And he's like, he goes, it's a very old crowd. And he's like, and I was like, and he's like, you can't talk about religion, or he's telling me all this. He's not even a comedian.
He's driving, so this is picking up.
He drove me from the hotel to the thing, and he's telling me all this.
Driving around the boat, or something.
No. So he goes, I guess just you have to do some like Jerry Seinfeld type stuff, and I'm like, just some Jerry Seinfeld type stuff. Cheers, thanks for the advice. And anyway, so then I get taken to my cabin by the Ents manager, and he kept being like, you know, you've done these before, so it's pretty standard stuff. And I didn't want to be like the new guy, so I was just like, totally. Of course, I've done
in the office, mate.
When am I not?
When am I on now?
Sea Legs Martin, that's what they call me.
Where's the mic?
What's your cabin like? I was going to say, what's when you get there?
So that you sometimes get put in the, in some, I'm not going to name the company because I don't know whether I should be talking about this, but if I don't name the company, it's fine. No company's been mentioned. So sometimes you get put in the with the punters, like
that's
cabins.
That's what I gather.
Which we've heard that this one I'm with the in the staff cabins.
Are you below
below deck?
You're below deck or above deck? Not deck. Water.
I mean, there's
level.
There's many.
You can see the
you're above the window. You're above. I'm not looking at like fish. I'm above that. I'm not just that far from my head. There's a freaking shark. I can
give
see,
you advice on the gig.
I can see the.
They're an old crowd.
The gig goes badly. Like in case of emergency, break glass. Just swim into the sea.
Get eaten by a shark.
I saw you last night. Yeah. You were shit. Ran on a bit of paper at the window.
So then, so I'm going into my cabin. And I'm like, hey man, just to check, because you don't really. All I know is I'm doing 2:45s. Obviously, but you know when I'm performing, like hope, because what I said to you, I think was, I hope I don't have to do one tonight. Because then if it tanks, which there's a strong possibility, then I have to sort of eat food amongst these people for two more days.
It's the worst.
And then he looks at the schedule and he goes, no, that's that band's on tonight and then tomorrow's that. And then he looks at the schedule and I can name the other comic in this car?
Yeah.
You can do, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Because it's nothing to do with him. And he goes,
He goes,
and he looks at it and goes, on the Monday, it's Jeff Boys. And he just says it's Jeff Boys, right? Who is a comic we know from back in the day on the circuit.
Yeah.
A Scottish comic, really nice guy. Haven't seen
him
for years.
Loves the cruises, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does a lot of them, it turns out, when we met. But anyway, so I haven't seen Jeff in years. And I'm like, oh, cool. And in my head, I'm going, all right, it's me and Jeff doing like 45 minutes each. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just hanging out for like 48 hours and then I do the gig on the night before I leave. And I was like, that's so good. I just do my gig. And I go, it's two gigs in the same night, 2:45s. He goes, no. You can just do the same 45 for both. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, just 45 minutes. It's almost like the finish line is closer. I'm like, I can make it. So it's going to be fine. And then he goes, Jeff's delayed. He's getting in tomorrow. So I go, all right. And now I'm just sitting on the boat from like, it's docked for the whole day. And it turns out, like, if I could have just gone for a walk around Wellington, but
right.
I just sat in my cabin and read Richard Osman's Thursday Night Murder Club on my Kindle, just in a small
cabin. I thought we were at sea.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
Were you going for a mooch around the boat a lot, or what?
I was like, I need to get my bearings, and it's like you get lunch in the buffet, which is like fairly decent. But then I'm amongst the people, and I'm like, everyone I'm walking past, I'm like, they're not gonna like this. They're not gonna like this. They're not gonna like this. I've got no one is gonna like this. No one is gonna like this. But
it's so lonely, isn't it?
It's really lonely. Especially when you just sit in your room, read all that. Anyway, so next day, and again, it could have been worse than another way. It could have been at sea for 3 days. Next day, we get to Napier, which is the biggest Art Deco city in the world. So I get off the boat, and then I feel like a little kid because I don't really understand how it works. And then they get these buses to drive all of the old cruisers into town, even though it's like a 3-minute walk. And I'm like, this is what, get on there. The guy starts telling you, hey, this is Napier, and it's the, and I go, yeah, I'm like, this is actually quality. You don't have to do any reading. Just an old man tells you about the place. Yeah, so this is great. I get taken into Napier, have a little mooch, coffee, go to a museum, just like, again, just solo, just like on holiday, but still in my head going, what the fuck? Okay, right, what's going to work? And I'm just jotting down in my notebook. And anyway, come back that day. We have to leave early for some reason. So just again, cabin. I haven't seen Jeff Boys at this point. This is the second day, obviously. So we go, all right, just read. Go both nights. I went to bed at honestly 8:30 p.m.
That's a dream.
Especially with a baby. I'm like, this is great. And then the next day we get to Tauranga, which is a lovely part
of the world. I've been there as well.
You've been to those when I've done stuff in New Zealand Comedy Festival before. And that's got it's got Mount Maunganui. So I just get out there, go for a, and we've got the whole day if you want to be there. But my gig is that night. And I keep going, my gig tonight. So go for a walk, vegan cafe, walk up a mountain, writing down, okay, this is what's going to work. And I start noticing stuff about the boat. I'm like, all right, if I talk a little bit of obs about the boat, but I've got a funny bit about how the lifts, you always press the button on one side, but the lift on the other side comes. I'm like, it's basic crap obs. Yeah, but if I can do some physicality with it, it'll be all right. But I keep looking at the schedule and I go, it's weird that like Jeff Boys's name is on tonight and they haven't put my name. Like maybe it's because it's my first show on the boat and they don't know how it's going to go. And then John Hastings said to me, I go, yeah, it's weird. Me and Jeff are doing 45 minutes each back to back. And the time slot looked like it was an hour and a half. So it worked. And John goes, just on WhatsApp, he goes, you guys are doing different nights, 2 45 minutes in a row. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's a different company to who you normally do them for. So what's what it is. But then I keep looking at it and that is weird that my name is in there. And then I look on the next night and the next night they've listed British Invasion. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's what they've called me and Jeff. Yeah. Two British people were invading the boat, I guess. Maybe they just got it the wrong way around. And then I keep thinking all day, it's really weird that no one's like done a sound check with me. I know it's a stand-up, but no one's done anything. And I also start thinking, I haven't brought a suit on. And it says on the thing, like, dress to impress. You've got to dress
on for British Invasion. Is that?
No, for tonight's week. Yeah, the punters on the boat, it's a smart casual most days. There's this dress to impress. I'm like, oh man, they're going to dress to impress. Turns out when I walked around the boat, I had a shirt and chinos, but I looked around the boat and I was like, if this is people dressing to impress, I should be fine.
Yeah, shirt and chinos, you were impressive.
they were like, this guy's way too impressive.
All right, mate.
It's the owner.
All right, mate, just come from a funeral. What's good?
You're on the way to court,
denim
mate.
Shirt. Blue denim shirt. Fancy pants.
Fucking la-di-da, mate. Yeah.
There was an Aussie bloke who was wearing those like jean shorts and one of those like cork hats, and that was it was a real Aussie, and I was like, that's quality. But I haven't spoken to a soul apart from I haven't seen the Ents manager since the moment he put me in my room. And I haven't spoken to anyone about just a man just reading and worrying about his gig. Gets to 6 p.m. It's an hour before the show. I was like, I know where the theater is. It's just the floor below. And I go and walk in. And it says in massive writing on two screens, Jeff Boys. I'm like, it's still weird. It's kind of weird now that it just says Jeff Boys. It just says right, Jeff Boys.
We get it. Okay, this is getting to me now.
Yeah. It's like, what about Chris Martin? So I go, and there's no one in the theatre. I walk to the backstage. I go, I like walk onto the stage. I go behind the curtain. I find this bloke who works there. And I go, hey, man. He goes, hello. He just thought, and he goes, who are you? And I go, yeah, I'm doing the show tonight. He goes, are you Jeff Boys? And I'm like, I'm not Jeff. My name's Chris. And he goes, are you sure you're not Jeff? And I'm like, I'm really sure I'm not Jeff. My name is Chris. And he told me afterwards, he thought I was just like a weird bloke from the boat who's just trying to do a show. And I go, so is it me? So I guess I'm doing like the first 45 and then Jeff. And it's fine. The name thing goes, no. He goes, only one comedian does 45 minutes. And I go, but what? I go, I've just been like, this is... He goes, what's happening? He goes, brings me into the office, and he goes, have you been in the office then today to do a sound check? I go, no, I didn't even know. No one told me. I've literally just been a man for 48 hours, just let loose to eat buffet food on a cruise. And he goes, let me call the guy. He calls the guy who checked me in. I probably shouldn't use that, so I'm not using names. And he goes, oh yeah. And well, here's a weird thing. I had a note in my room that day saying, good luck with your shows tonight, Chris. Yeah. So I was like, all right. So somebody knows I'm on the boat and my name is Chris.
The mysterious.
And I speak to that guy. And at this point I might've WhatsApped you, Carl, going, I definitely told Hannah and me to go, I think I'm not doing a show. And I'm like, I go, what? And I said to the guy, this guy is doing two shows back. Jeff Boys is doing two shows. And this comedy is only 45 minutes. And I'm like, really? And I go, they speak to the bloke and he goes, yeah, I think there's been a mistake. They've just double booked. And they look on the schedule and like, there's other rooms. They go, no, there's stuff happening in all the rooms and it's already on the schedule. So we can't do it. And I go, and I mess you guys. I think I'm, and I said to the guy, well, what do I do? He goes, yeah, just enjoy the rest of your vacation, I guess. So I go, and honestly, I message you, Carl. And once that was established, I love stand up and having a ripping a gig is a great feeling, but it is not greater than getting paid quite a decent amount of money to just go on a boat. The boat itself is one, but the fact that you go for 3 days, you get got paid to go on vacation for 3 days.
And also the relief.
I was so
once you weren't
of the
doing
gig,
the show.
I was like, I can't have a bad gig. I can't have a bad. If it was like a crowd I was up for doing. And I honestly, after that, I immediately go to the buffet. I'm the chattiest man. There's an old man and his wife. And they're like, I'm like, have a seat,
guys. You're performing in the queue.
And I didn't even tell him what I was doing.
And you said you went.
What's the deal with lift buttons around it?
Yeah. And then you said you went for like, you went to watch Jeff and then you had a drink.
I was this Aussie couple. I was just like, I was in such a good mood. This old couple. I was like, they were like, they at no point did they think it was weird that I was just a 30-something-year-old man just having dinner on his own on this boat. Like, I would have assumed anyone who looked like me was working. The guy goes, "You're just here on a little holiday, are you?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm actually. Yeah, literally." Based on 10 minutes ago, yes, that is exactly what I'm here doing. Man, I'm here on a 3-day holiday. I flew in from LA to New Zealand for a 3-day holiday. And after that, I went for a couple of old fashions in the bar. I caught up with Jeff and then I see Jeff and he's just like, me, if I'd known what happened, I would have got you on the bill with me and stuff. And I'm like, it's a real shame.
Don't worry about it, Jeff.
Mate, I appreciate it.
You're good. Yeah.
And I just kept finding it hilarious that I've
Got paid a handsome sum to fly and basically fly onto a boat and just have a catch up with Jeff Boys and then get off.
What a lovely
way to spend a few days.
It's like the tamest version of Under Siege, where I just like an ex-military guy getting flown who's in the kitchen who can fight. I'm just like, I'm out there. If anyone needs some humor, just like on a whim, man. I can turn it on. But otherwise, I'm just here. I got paid to go on holiday for 5 days.
Did they explain what went wrong?
He tried to explain. He was just going like, well, we did the schedule. Like, you go, and they kept going, this has never happened before. And I was like, yeah. But I mean, because Carl, you were messaging me going, because John normally does these for a week and you've got to do at least 2 or 3 nights of shows. And then you said, I said, I've got to do 2:45. I've got to do 2 shows in 3 days, which I was like, it's still all right. But I was dreading it. And then when I realized it was 2 shows of the same thing, I was like, this is great. And when I realized it was no shows.
No shows of no material is the dream.
Shows of no material. Like I didn't get any laughs. I didn't get booed off either. You're doing one.
Lovely.
You're doing one soon, Carl, where you do zero. You do one show.
I think I do one show. Or maybe I think it might be 2 shows, but it's the same material, different audience. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm not I'm quite interested in what it's going to be like. Again, it's that thing of the novelty.
What is this, a cruise, is it?
Yeah. I got asked to do one. Somebody saw me at a gig here and asked if I'd do it. But from what I gather, the ones here are slightly different to the ones that go out of the UK. Like, in terms,
I think you've
of
got more clientele. I think the British crowds are the British old people are
different beasts, aren't they? They are.
They're bad. Yeah, they're bad.
I died so hard in Egypt years ago. I was too new for it, really, and I just bombed so bad, man.
Oh, just on a cruise?
It wasn't a cruise, but it was kind of
too old British.
It felt like that. You know what I mean? It was a holiday kind of resort.
I won't say the name.
Chuck me in one of them tombs down the street.
I won't say the name of the act, but an act who's guested on our podcast. She did her first one recently. And she told you this story about.
No, you told me.
Oh man! Like, she died so hard on the first night. She was doing two nights. She died so hard on the first night. Next night, they literally said to her, "You don't need to do it tonight. We're just going to show a Billy Connolly DVD." that is cold blooded, man. Wow. You got replaced
Was that a cruise? On a cruise?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is.
Supposed to do. I pulled out. I was supposed to do a gig next Thursday, actually. The agent got in touch and what I was supposed to do was go to this club. There's 30 guys in this. I don't even know what club it was. Pretend that I'm a new member, and talk about my membership and then go into my set.
That's as a surprise.
Why? No.
Like, I'm a surprise. Not. And today I just rang the guy directly and just said, I can't do it. It sounds like a nightmare.
Sorry, man, I can't do your gig because it sounds fucking ridiculous.
And he was
I can't. I'm actually in my house grilling my own testicles instead of doing that.
But I said to him, it just sounds like a nightmare. You know what I mean?
That's very
and he was like, what? I didn't know what to say.
I love the honesty, though. So that's the correct response, though, to some shows when people ask you, "Hey, do you want to?" You're like, I always go, "Oh, sorry, I've got to," but I'd love to just say that. Sorry, I would love to, but that sounds like a bloody nightmare. The problem for me with that story, though, is now I'm gonna really struggle to agree to do any form of a cruise gig, because I'm like, they're like, it's a good one, because I mean, I got offered the same money for a week to do 3 days, and I was like, that's what made me do it. I'm like, can you offer me the same money to do zero gigs again?
Because zero days.
How many is it? One gig? Well, that I feel like I'm losing money now.
You're never going to better that experience.
Sorry, my fee is actually based on me not doing a gig.
My fee is just good vibes on the boat. You pay for me and
I'm good fun at the buffet. You know what I mean? Just get me on there.
People's like, who's that happy chappy just walking around on his own saying good morning to everyone?
I would have felt so elated, though. Oh, I totally understand. Honestly, like, just like, oh.
You know, like in a movie when it, like, the thing happens and it's like, money, 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 money. The guy's got a swagger. That was, it's like I've been injected.
Jumping up, kicking your heels.
Well, isn't it, again, I won't name, but I there's that famous story. It's like an apocryphal story of, and I won't say the name. Like, again, it's something that'd be nice to hit for it to get him on to talk about it. But a guy from the old, like a proper old, like, Jonglers comedy store stalwart from like the 90s. Got asked to do a gig over in like bloody Bahrain or somewhere, like, or it might have been Seychelles, somewhere where it was for like a Saudi prince's birthday. And it was, he was doing like half an hour. There was going to be magicians, dancing girls. It was just going to be this fucking like the bloody royal variety performance, basically, for this prince who'd sit there in a chair watching with his mates, whatever. And it sounded like a nightmare gig. And anyway, so he gets flown over. He's getting good money for it. Nice hotel. And then he just got a call like 2 hours before the show saying like, the prince thinks the show looks too long on paper. So we've just said, we'll cut it down. Can you do 10 minutes instead of like 30?
Oh.
And he was like, He goes, you know, that's absolutely fine. I'll be like, sorry to cut your time. He's like, nah, you're all right. And then half an hour later, another phone call comes in. We've told the prince that like it's still too long. And so he wants it cut. So can you just host? Literally, you can go on, just do a few mins and then just introduce all the other acts. And he's like, yes, that is exactly what I can do. So now he's just having the best time. And then he got a call like 10 minutes before the show saying the Prince has decided he doesn't want to watch any entertainment. We're cancelling the gig. You get paid in full, and we've put a full free tab behind the bar upstairs. So he basically got paid like multiple thousands of pounds to fly to the Seychelles and basically get shit-faced with a bunch of dancing girls all evening.
Do you know what, though? I love those stories. And I guess I would put mine in the same bracket where someone, if anyone's listening, oh, you lucky bastard. But I feel like I've earned that. You know what I mean? I've done so many crappy gigs.
Yes.
For no money or just embarrassing and a waste of time, that when you get them every now and again, or like a voice gig or something, which normally pays pretty well for the before AI replaces us all. You know, you're just like, people, that's loads of money. You go, yeah, because there's so much of this side of the industry that's just like I did a gig in Baltimore to like 8 people, which was, I would argue, the worst gig I've done in 15 years. It was before the night before I recorded my special.
Oh, I'm really telling me.
The guy had gone, so we don't normally do a late show on a Thursday, so we haven't sold many. How many is 8? Every single one of them was they were all arseholes. Some of them, like, was a mum and her mates and a daughter. They're from Iowa. They'd see me online, so they came. Every single time I stopped for like a half a second, someone would interrupt and ask me a question. And I was like, I'm supposed to be running my hour before I record it, like, next 2 days. And then after like 10 minutes, I was like, this is literally just a waste. This is a waste of everyone's time. And but it was so bad. I started finding it. You know, when it's so bad, it's like stressful. I found it like, I was like, this isn't even a gig. I just started to find it. I was like, this is insane. This isn't even the promoter at the end. The promoter didn't even take commission off it. He was supposed to take 20%. He went, I'm not even going to take 20%. I'm like, good. You shouldn't. It was bad.
Quickly, before we do some questions, your special is out. The audio's out.
No. The audio's out, but I'm going to release the video onto YouTube in a couple of weeks. I sent you an earlier.
I got a preview, a final edit preview. It's very, very good.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's very, very funny.
Just if anyone wants to watch it, I guess it'll be on the website youtube.com. And if you follow me online or whatever, I'll post it and maybe you'll share it on one of these things. But it's fun to do. It'd be interesting to see if British people watching find it. There's like, I mean, there's a few.
I didn't find it. There's a few Americanisms, but like, it's not at all. I can't think of a single routine that isn't international and translates. Weirdly, let's do a question based on that. James says, what's the best thing as a Brit living in America?
Customer service.
Same in Australia as well. It's Australia, so like something about countries where, because in America though, are customer service people paid okay, or is it just
the difference is Australia, they're paid, yeah, that's it. Australia, they're paid well enough that they're not like miserable to have the job. In America, it's tip based, so they're incentivized financially to not be dicks.
There's no miserable people,
mate. Do you know what the funny thing I noticed when I go back to the UK is I feel like, in a way, an annoying American when I go back, but it is like a cartoon how bad the service is. Yeah. But partly because I forgot that I used to work in a pub when I was 18. The only people that work in those places are like kids, because that's a starter job. In America, it can be a career because you can make decent money for tips. But did I meet you, Carl, Christmas before last when I was back? Maybe I met you afterwards in the Underbelly Garden or something. But I went to the bar, the Phoenix, where they used to have Old Rope for years. So I just always choose that as an easy little place to meet. And I got there and I was like starving. And I said, can I have a burger and chips to the guy? And he goes, where are you sitting? It was like packed. And I said, I'll just eat at the bar. And he goes, can't eat at the bar. Go, not even like, oh, I'm really sorry, but I'm afraid. She goes, can't eat at the bar. Like, can't eat at the bar. Like I was an idiot.
No.
You want to eat food at a bar?
You fucking idiot.
Drop the attitude, mate.
This guy was like, where are you going to put your plate? On the bar? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat. Can I eat at the bar? And he goes, you can't eat at the bar. And I go, why can't I eat at the bar? And he said, because if somebody's standing next to you has an allergy, we're liable. I go, what are you on about,
He's made that up.
That's totally made it. What if you get at your table and the table next to you, somebody's got an allergy? Yeah. They don't mention that.
A peanut allergy just walks past and you see him just slowly faint.
Yeah, they don't see it. It's if like... they say, what table are you at? And you're like, I'm table 18. They're like, sorry, I can't serve you because table 19's got a peanut allergy. Like, it's never happened in a pub ever. Exactly. So shut up, man.
And then I go, but then I go, well, let me go. Is that, are you serious? I go, can I? He goes, yeah. Is it like, are you sure you can't do anything? Can't. I go, who's the manager? And he gets an even younger boy out.
Yeah.
It's even more miserable. It's a smaller boy. It's like, you go, this guy, how is he the manager?
Yeah, he's like
9. And then he goes, and here's the thing I've noticed. Not only is it bad, it's like they love being dicks. The guy's like, nah. He's like, arms crossed. No chance, mate. No chance. Man. And then
you're going to eat him, mate.
Last time somebody did that, it was about 08. Last time somebody ate a burger at the bar, 2008. So good luck. Not happened for 15 years. Fucking so then I go, hell. I go, all right. I go, what if I, because I would be like, wouldn't you want the man who wants to pay for the burger to pay for the burger? Your mate, I'm like offering you money for a thing. And then I go, all right. I go, I'll eat it and I won't eat it at the bar. And he goes, well, where are you going to eat it? I go, I'll stand there. And I just pointed at just a space in the middle of the pub. I'll eat it there. Is that allowed? And he was like, I mean, it's allowed. Yeah.
Loophole.
I've got him on a loophole. And then one chair became available. I got the chair and I put it there. And then the food came. I went, yeah, put it there. That'll be my table. And he was
three
like,
three people died.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. And yeah, 9 people with allergies died. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. Customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah, people here are like, they like move heaven and earth to make you satisfied.
It's like, I mean, it is, and this isn't, yeah, it is so noticeable here as well. Like, I was in Sydney last week and I went for lunch or breakfast with Justin Hamilton, very funny, lovely Australian comedian. And he took me to his local cafe, and I swear to God, we were there for maybe an hour and a half, and maybe if that. The waiting staff, we had 3 different people come and do stuff. And every time we had like a full 5-minute, really nice, easy conversation, just chat. They were just chatty. And we just had really lovely. And because he told me en route, he goes, oh, this is my favorite cafe we're going to. He goes, everyone's just really nice there. And I was like, yeah, whatever, man. And when we left, I was like, mate, they are so nice there. Everyone's just so friendly and like, just bubbly, nice young ladies. That's what you want when you're having your fucking brunch, you know. Yeah, and not even like, you don't feel like an old perv chatting to like a 21-year-old of.
You don't feel like one, but you look like one, mate.
But you are one.
I mean, in my head, I was fucking disgusting what was going on, but like...
destroying them in your imagination.
But you know, but obviously I'm very pleasant on the surface, so I was just being friendly. They'd never know the grot that was going through my mind,
what they were choking on in your mind. Okay, sorry.
I just kept my mouth shut for that.
Yeah, Chris has pulled back on that conversation.
I don't want to lose my sweet, sweet, sweet no gigs on a cruise career that I've got going at the moment.
Right, what's this one? Naomi says, you're on death row. What's your last supper request? Starter and main and dessert. Death row meals. What are you going
for? Can I ask you this as a fellow vegan, Carl? I think about this quite a lot. And I
would I just go meat for my last meal? Just tap out.
Just like, do I just go like, I don't know, actually. I still, because there's a couple of like things that I enjoyed that were fish or meat based that I would be like, that would be just to have it. But then it probably
you might as well just get like a McDonald's, like a perfect McDonald's.
Do you know, I went to McCharlie's in Sydney last week. Like it's an exact replica of McDonald's.
Tastes the same.
Vegan.
Yeah, all vegan. And I swear on my life, I got a cheeseburger just out of curiosity. I was walking past. I thought, as much as I avoid a lot of that sort of vegan fast food and junk food nowadays, I've had my fill of it. It was a bit of fun, but now I just can't be arsed. And
it's a bit of fun. Yeah. You know, in your 20s when you have a burger for a
just
bit
a
of
wild
fun.
Afternoon.
But you know what I mean? I used to
anytime, crazy kid.
But what I mean is whenever I was gigging in a city, I'd always find the cool like vegan places that did like, oh, I'm gonna go get a vegan hot dog and whatever.
Some popcorn chicken or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, things that you like I thought were a novelty, but then I just don't. I just eat normally when I'm in town. I stick to just eating relatively well. But I went to a McCharlie's and I will say, it is exactly how I remember the food from McDonald's. I don't miss McDonald's at all. But like I taste it, I was like, that is 100% exactly what a cheeseburger tasted of in my memory. So you know, you
I'll can probably go for a McDonald's with a like a milkshake standard. Really? I don't know why.
You just feel like if you're getting killed, you're gonna murder as well just before
yeah,
you
yeah, why not?
Why don't you just get a meal that takes ages? If you just put off your death for a bit, innit?
Four years, yeah.
I'd get a massive bowl of spaghetti marinated and I'd eat each spaghetti separately.
Right, I thought you were gonna. Are you on a slow roasted shoulder of like?
I don't think
they
put
like,
your death date days back cook. Though. Do you know what I mean?
All right, what they don't wait till you finish
your execution
meal.
Date. Yeah, yeah.
They probably make you choose the meal a week out just in case someone's tried to do that. They go sorry that because if people come and watch, don't they? They go and watch yeah, the yeah. murder.
So I'd say if I was gonna go, I just realized if I was gonna go something non-vegan, that I would probably go starters. I'd go oysters. That's one of the things I'd miss.
To get
you horny.
Do you know, we've had this chat before about oysters. They are sort of, I mean, well, obviously
There's an argument they're not. They don't have a central nervous system. So there's an argument they're closer to a plant than an animal. But I don't know, man. It flaps around in the sea. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Do you know what, though? I've realized knowing my luck. They are nice. But they're nice with the stuff on them. You've got the thing on them. You've got to have a little bit of a little shallot type vinegar on top to... It's a weird one because you swallow it, right? So, but somehow it's something about
it. It's about the process. I used to love them, man. I used to love somewhere where they're good, like west of Ireland or somewhere just where they're just proper good fucking, you know, you get them in Australia, coastal of Australia, like, you know, just a proper like rock oyster. And it's just stuff, eat it, and then just wank yourself silly.
do you know, you get executed.
Do you know what I was going to say? Knowing, I put it on my
cock, the electrocution. Can you put the gas up my arse?
Knowing my good fortune, I'd be on death row. I'd choose the thing. They go, do you know what, mate? Actually, it's the execution's cancelled. You just got a free meal, dude.
Yeah. Your name's not. It's just Jeff Boys. Today.
And I come out going, guys, honestly, I'm killing
Jeff Boys instead.
I'm like Jeff is all happy, I
do loads of these, it's all right, I do them every week.
I could have got you in gas chamber with me.
Death Row's actually really nice. I don't know why everyone complains about Death Row. It's quite fun actually.
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. But if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you. Love you.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you know. Not Nicky's diet of AIDS in an alleyway.